The Champions League has seen some special things, but what Erling Haaland is doing right now is unheard of. His acrobatic and improbable winner against former club Borussia Dortmund was the standout moment of the night. So many stories were to unfold elsewhere too. Chelsea held in Graham Potter's first game in charge. There was remarkable penalty drama at Rangers. Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain stay in the winning groove, while Benfica claim a famous victory at Juventus. So let's get into it and review Match Day 2 Wednesday in the Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to look back after a brilliant night of drama in Europe's premier club competition. And we have European football expert Alvaro Romeo joining us for the first time this evening. Alvaro, a brilliant night of drama to join us for the first time as well. What is your main takeaway from the night's action?
Well, since you have mentioned already Erling Haaland, I'm going to try to be original. I think Benfica beating Juventus and especially getting their 12th straight win this season has to be one of the moments of the week so far, because this is incredible. They are set to qualify already. They are looking very good. And to be honest with you, I didn't expect Benfica to do so well from the very beginning of this season, but they are fantastic.
And we're going to get into their 2-1 victory in Turin a little bit later on. I'm also joined by commentators Richard Conley and Chris Parra. Good evening to both of you. Rich, you were on City Dortmund and Haaland's winner. Let's have some reflection from you on that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Haaland's winner was an extraordinary feat of goal scoring. Just so few players in world football can produce such a move. But in its way, John Stones' thunderbolt was as staggering. And that was the goal that changed the course of the match. At that point, Dortmund were 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go. And set fair to win themselves.
Real Madrid, meanwhile, they were under the cosh for lots of their game against Leipzig, Chris Parrott, but they find a way, don't they?
Yeah, a Champions League tale we've seen time and time again, really. Leipzig had lots of chances, just like Celtic did last week, just like teams did last season, Rob, when they went all the way, Real Madrid. But they found a way, they scored two brilliant goals, and it's the first time in 5 years that Real Madrid have won both of their opening group stage matches of a Champions League season.
Yeah, that's surprising in itself, and we'll get into that game shortly. I'm just going to round up all 9 of the games we had on Wednesday in the Champions League. The game that was moved from Tuesday to Wednesday, Rangers-Napoli, finished Rangers 0, Napoli 3 in Group A, same section as Liverpool-Ajax. Group E, AC Milan 3, Dinamo Zagreb 1, Chelsea 1, Salzburg 1. Group F, Shakhtar 1, Celtic 1. Real Madrid 2, RB Leipzig 0. Group G, Manchester City 2, Borussia Dortmund 1, Copenhagen 0, Sevilla 0. Group H, Juventus 1, Benfica 2, and Maccabi Haifa 1, Paris Saint-Germain 3. We have to start in England, though, in a match that saw Manchester City striker Erling Haaland face his former club, Borussia Dortmund, for the first time since leaving just months ago. Rich and Alvaro were watching this one.
Reina takes the corner for Dortmund. Flicked off the head of Haaland, back defending there. Comes to Royce, who goes for goal. Oh, it's flicked in by Bellingham for Dortmund. He stands with his arms outstretched in front of the travelling fans. And they've done what they've been threatening to do.
Marco Reus, that was so clever, so good. He pretty much put the ball in a place where nobody can defend it, and Jude Bellingham was the first one who popped up there. He put the head and he didn't have to do much.
De Bruyne with the early ball into Stones. He'll hit this! Oh! Will he hit it? John Stones channeling Vincent Kompany thrashes one in from the edge of the box to bring Manchester City level. Dortmund don't seem to be as close to Manchester City all of a sudden. The ball carrier's got time. Cancelo with the outside of the ball! Oh! And Haaland has scored for Manchester City! One chance, one goal. That was all it took. And in the space of 3 minutes, Manchester City have turned this around.
And the stands are in pure joy because they have witnessed something pretty much historic, which is a superhuman flying to score a beautiful goal.
Yeah, he is the hero. It was a remarkable improvised goal from Erling Haaland that sealed the game. It looked like City might suffer their first home defeat in the Champions League since they lost to Lyon in 2018. But it would not be. They are 20 unbeaten at home, and two remarkable goals got them the victory. Alvaro and Rich with me of course. Okay, Rich, let's play out the story a little bit. How did Dortmund get themselves in a position with 10 minutes to go where it looked like they might win at City?
I mean, they're tremendously well organised, defended brilliantly throughout, you'd have to say, throughout the entire match, really. That they, I mean, they were undone by two moments of staggering quality, really. But the first half in particular, I mean, they really slowed the game down. They defended in big blocks, closed the game, closed City into corners of the field. The diagonals that City often play didn't succeed in creating space. Mahrez was a little bit sluggish in that first half. Grealish had a little more joy, but nobody really in wide positions got anything going. There was no tempo, no pizzazz to Manchester City's passing, and Dortmund were actually starting to threaten more and more on the counter-attack. Didn't take the moments in the first half, but in the second, carried on in that vein and had a really big chance for Marco Reus before Reus set up Bellingham for that opener. And at that point, it did really look as if they might go on and win the game. At no point was City really pinging it around and threatening on a regular basis, but a thumping goal from John Stones changed all that, and then Haaland stepped in.
The thing is that Manchester City have to do something spectacular to beat Dortmund, and I think that this is a tribute to this German side, because they've done really well. I mean, it was a testament to their good work that in the first half, Rodri ran 6.12 kilometers and barely touched the ball. He was trying to find his own space, but Dortmund didn't give him any space. And then in the second half, obviously, they were going to be tired at some point. I think that Ostern was probably one of the players that I saw that he was knackered at some point around the 80th minute, like, please, I hope that the game finishes now because I can't run anymore. Yeah. He played very well, though, and the changes of Dortmund maybe didn't make that difference that I thought they were going to make. Malen, I wish I had seen a little bit more of him, because when he got the ball up front, he created himself a very, very good chance, but, you know, I think the changes came onto the pitch to keep on defending, and, you know, offensive players like Malen or Adeyemi don't want that.
But 12 minutes to go and you're 1-0 up against Manchester City, you're thinking about trying to block out the rest of the game,
introducing
Schlotterbeck, yeah. And then 5 minutes later you've run out of time and you're throwing your attacking players on because the whole momentum of the game has completely turned upside down. It was very difficult. I mean, I think the coach comes at it with a great deal more credit than he does debit, because the way that the team was set up, and the whole idea of playing Emre Can in a midfield three, a fairly tight three, and getting, you know, the whole setup worked to perfection, and there were superb individual performances in there as well. Hummels was magnificent. Süle too. Bellingham throughout, I thought, was wonderful. Really energetic, but not just hard working, thoughtful, and anticipating. Terrific. Strong. I mean, got the goal. I mean, his performance was a real top class box to box midfield performance.
Yeah, very quick on Bellingham, because he's not only a player that gives you plenty of good things when you are controlling the game, but when you have to run for the ball, Jude Bellingham is a great asset as well, because as soon as he recovers the ball, or as soon as you give it to him when you recover the ball, he can run with the ball, he can carry the ball, which is tremendously refreshing, but for a team that needs a counter-attack. And this is something that Dortmund has been really grateful for today. I mean, every time Bellingham had the ball, the team was breathing. Okay, this guy can hold it, can keep it, and on top of that, he's scoring a goal. So, you know, he has scored two goals in the Champions League, and he's still so young. A great performance by Jude Bellingham, yes.
His fourth Champions League goal ever, by the way, the most ever by an English teenager in the competition. Let's hear from him now. Disappointed, of course, that his side came away with nothing.
I think, you know, it's not one of them games where you can get on the ball and have loads of possession. But, you know, when you have it, you have to try and get the team forward. And we knew that we were going to spend the majority of the game without the ball. And I think we were brilliant for, I don't know, when they scored, maybe 75 minutes. And, you know, that's what great teams can do to you. You know, you don't give them a sniff and then out of nothing they can score and kind of tilt the game back in their favour.
Jude Bellingham speaking there. Even pitch side for German TV, I just saw Sami Khedira and Mats Hummels. Khedira now working for TV. They were clearly watching back the footage, and Hummels is exasperated, trying to explain to his former international teammate what happened. The answer is that Erling Haaland is a complete footballing freak and produced something special, Rich.
Yes, that's true. But the point, I think, is, and Alvaro's hit the nail on the head here, the tiredness. They'd worked so hard, they put so much into it. In the last 10 minutes, those goals only happen because Stones has got enough space to look up, see there's room for the shot, line the shot up and hit the shot.
Well, you said it on comms there for the cross.
Space for Cancelo to play the ball in. They're nowhere near him. And the reason they're nowhere near him is because they're worn out. And City, I suppose, have worn them out over those 75 minutes. And that's what they'll be frustrated about. They weren't close enough in those two instances. Haaland shouldn't get that chance. The cross shouldn't come in. But they've given everything and they had nothing left.
And, you know, Erling Haaland, at the end of the day, I have to say again, even today, that he wasn't playing particularly great. He managed to score a goal, because it's very difficult to keep the focus for 90 minutes for a defender. At some point, you have to stop looking at Haaland and looking at some other players, like Julian Alvarez, who came onto the pitch and who can create danger as well, right? So, you know, Erling Haaland had just one moment to score a goal, and he did it. And I repeat again, this goal is spectacular, because he has scored 13 this season already between League and Champions League, but this one is special. I mean, very few players in the world can do this. He flied over everyone else, and you know, he has proven that he's got a privileged physique. I mean, nobody else can score this goal apart from maybe Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and maybe not now because he's 40, 41 years old.
Okay, yeah, we'll have more on this game shortly, but Manchester City, thanks to Haaland, have picked up 3 points, another victory for them. They're 2-2 in the UEFA Champions League. In Group G, in the other game in this section, both Copenhagen and Sevilla lost on match day one, and they both have picked up a point because they played out a goalless draw in Denmark. Ivan Rakitic drilled over an early opportunity for the visitors. Christensen probably with Copenhagen's best chance on the night, but they both move on to 1 point after that goalless draw in Denmark. Let's go to Group F with Celtic's trip to Poland to take on Shakhtar Donetsk. That's where they're playing their home games in the Champions League this season. Your commentary team is John Bradley and Kevin Hatchard.
Celtic have the ball, and it's played inside where the shot is hit across the face of goal, and it's Rio Hatate who touches the ball on the edge of the six-yard area and rolls it beyond the goalkeeper, who sliding out just couldn't get a touch on it.
It all comes from Shakhtar being out of position when Mudryk loses that ball.
Well, here's a ball from Mudryk, who's in behind Juranovic for the first time tonight and scores quite brilliantly. The Champions League new golden boy has struck again.
It's such a good finish, but I think the goalkeeper can probably do better.
Yeah, and Celtic will certainly be lamenting the fact that they didn't win, given the chances they fashioned, particularly in the second half then. In a moment, we're going to hear from Shakhtar's head coach, Igor Jovacevic, with his post-match thoughts. First, here's Celtic's boss, Ange Postecoglou.
I couldn't ask any more of the players. I thought it was they put in a massive effort. Started the game really well, obviously scored the goal, and then they got one on the counter-attack. But again, I thought we regrouped after that, and second half, dominated the game, created enough chances to win it. Don't think we got the rewards that reflected the performance, but couldn't ask any more of the players.
Administration of the emotion for us, this is a lotto, this is jackpot, because this is only for many of us second match in Champions League experience. So I'm feel very proud of my team, because we were courage, we play with fight until the end for the Ukrainian people, for us, for victory. But how they say, if you cannot win, don't lose.
It's a good point, and Shakhtar remain unbeaten in the competition. They move on to 4 points after their win at Leipzig on match day one. The player of the match, by the way, was Celtic's Jota, and he says the team were unfortunate not to win.
As a Celtic player, we always aim for the victory, and today we really wanted to get the victory. Unlucky we didn't get it, but we keep on working, and there's plenty of many matches to play. I think we keep on having some good chances, but we don't make it, and in this level, Champions League level, if you don't make it, then you'll suffer for sure. But learnings from this, and there's a belief in this group that I think we can go to high places.
Jota speaking there, so 1-1 at Shakhtar. Alvaro, your thoughts on this game in Poland?
Yeah, I just want to say something about Shakhtar very quickly. I mean, last year they were the first team in the Champions League in passing accuracy and 16 possession. 2 seasons ago, they had 5 players with over 90% passing accuracy in the Champions League. Right now, they are a totally different proposition because they have lost many players. So they have won today with a 46% possession, 85% passing accuracy. Numbers that are totally different of the numbers of one season and 2 seasons ago. Before, they were the masters of accuracy and keeping possession. Then winning games was a different story. This Shakhtar, however, is grinding out the results because they got 4 points already, and they are letting the opponent have the ball much more. So, yeah. they change a lot.
Okay, let's see how they fare for the rest of the group. 4 points is not a bad situation, though. Let's go to the other game in Group F, which saw defending champions Real Madrid welcome Leipzig with their new head coach, Marco Rosa, to the Bernabeu. Chris Parrott was watching for us.
Crossfield pass is good. It's Valverde onto his left foot. What a finish from Fede Valverde. And finally, the breakthrough at the Bernabeu. They've soaked up the pressure, but they found the moment of quality. And it's Valverde again for Real Madrid. Picked out by Vinicius. The finish was magnificent. One of the four added minutes has come and gone. Pulled back to the edge of the box. What a finish that is from Marco Asensio. Well, he's been the forgotten man recently at the Bernabeu, but he reminds everybody of his class. First time on his left foot, and it has whistled beyond Petr Gulácsi to seal the points for Real Madrid. Two wins from two to start their latest Champions League defence. Real Madrid 2, Leipzig 0.
Chris on commentary there, and he joins Alvaro and myself now. And Fede Valverde, I know Alvaro wants to speak about him, but Chris, he is, after that belting goal at the weekend against Mallorca, he is becoming one of Madrid's main men.
Yeah, he is. And even before this match, Carlo Ancelotti talking about the young Uruguayan, saying that he is a leader and is very, very important to us. He added this before this performance, Rob. He's doing very well, he's very humble, and this can help him to be a leader in the future. Now, only Carlo Ancelotti knows what he is talking about, maybe in terms of captaincy at some stage, I don't know, but clearly in a team in transition, having lost Casemiro, having before that lost Sergio Ramos without Karim Benzema for this match, it was Fede Valverde who really stood up when they needed a goal, because Leipzig were the better team for the opening 80 minutes, but Valverde on that left foot, he's unstoppable.
From the very first minute that he started training with Real Madrid, many players told the manager at the time, Zinedine Zidane, that Fede Valverde was very good and had to stay. Mm. You know, he didn't have to go down to Castilla again to play in the Spanish third division. And the truth is that he is. And he has built up his own reputation playing in positions that didn't fit him as well. Like, for example, a great game as a right back against Liverpool. He has played as well as a holding midfielder. And right now, Carlo Ancelotti is giving him the freedom to do what he likes best, which is running with the ball, taking on players, and also taking shots. He's an excellent shooter, by the way. And you will see, Rob, that in 20 years' time, we'll be talking about who is the best or the strongest shooter in the Champions League. And maybe somebody will do it, Fede Valverde, because his shot is spectacular. And with Uruguay, he has scored already some very nice goals from a long range. It's no coincidence that they changed his nickname from El Pajarito, which is the little bird, to the little bird, to El Halcón, which is the falcon. I mean, Fede Valverde right now is flying, and he's a very good player for Real Madrid, for sure.
And you know, you mentioned Uruguay there. It's a football-mad South American country. We know that. It's had some unbelievable footballers in the past, but Fede Valverde is, I think, increasingly becoming the leader of Uruguayan football as well. And it was interesting tonight, last week against Celtic in the Champions League final, it was Valverde who produced the pass for Vinicius Junior. And then this evening it was the other way round, and those two dovetailed very, very nicely indeed. And then the second goal, Rob, was equally brilliant from Marco Asensio, who at the weekend was very unhappy that he didn't come on. Carlo Ancelotti said that he didn't mind the angry reaction of throwing the water bottle down, but he did choose to bring him on against Leipzig, and he delivered. And that, you sense, was a big goal. There was a bit of frustration in the celebration, but it was just, as I mentioned in my commentary, it was just a point to everybody that Marco Asensio is a heck of a player. And if he's not getting anywhere near the Real Madrid team at the moment, shows how strong the squad is at the Bernabeu.
And encouraging as well, Chris, for RB Leipzig, because they won at the weekend against Borussia Dortmund, although they're on no points at the moment. I mean, they'll be lamenting the chances they wasted through Werner and Nkunku, who you were telling us was very good on the night.
Yeah, first half Leipzig were magnificent, actually, and had they led by two or three goals at the break, I don't think anyone could have argued with that. The difference from a week ago when they shipped four against Shakhtar was night and day, really. Marco Rosa has gone in there, he's implemented his game plan. It's fast and furious, but it's with a front three who interchange, a front four who interchange. And had they led, who knows, it might have been different, but they are in a tricky spot right in this section now. They're 4 points behind Shakhtar, having played and lost to them. So you would think that minimum requirement, they're going to need to beat Celtic once over the next two match days, and they are going to have to beat Shakhtar in Poland, I think, if they are going to go through. The way they played at the Bernabeu, they still have a chance, but very, very little room for error now for the German side.
Absolutely right. Okay, Chris, thank you. Let's do this stat, by the way. Luka Modric, the first outfield player to appear for Real Madrid at the age of 37 in the European Cup since Ferenc Puskas back in 1965. Well done to which had a statistical boffin went back and dug that one up. Okay, let's go to Group A. This game moved from Tuesday to Wednesday due to policing and logistical issues in the UK. Rangers taking on Napoli. So much penalty drama to get into. It finished 3-0 to Napoli after they scored all their goals in the second half. First of all, let's hear from Rangers defender Connor Goldson on a difficult second half.
Obviously, it's hard enough with 11, and when you go down to 10, we knew it was going to be difficult, but we just tried to get into a formation and try and get into a bit of a low block and see if they could beat us. But then we have another penalty given against us, and then obviously when you go 1-0 down with 10 men, spaces started to appear. We had more and more attacking players on the pitch, and in the end we got punished.
Yeah, it's 2-2 for Rangers. There was brilliant penalty drama, really, when Napoli were awarded a penalty in the second half. James Sands sent off, second yellow. Zielinski stepped up. Now, remember, scored his penalty against Liverpool. Saved by McGregor, 40-year-old, into the team because of an injury to John McLaughlin. Encroachment on the rebound, which was scored. I know this is complicated. So then they had to go again. Zielinski was like, well, I'll give it another go. Went the same way, and McGregor saved again. So it looked like it was going to be the 40-year-old tonight. But then there was another penalty to Napoli. Minutes later, this time Politano says, I've got it, and he scored. And then Raspadori and Ndombele scored late on. So it finished 3-0 in the end to Napoli at Ibrox.
Rob, does that mean that Napoli then have had five penalties in their
opening? Hold on, so two in the first game.
Yeah, and then kind of three in their second.
Yeah, who was the team who had loads of penalties last year? Was it Salzburg or something? Another team had loads of penalties at the start of the group
stage. Salzburg at Sevilla.
That's it. Yes, yeah. That's it. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Group E next. AC Milan 3, Dinamo Zagreb 0. Zagreb coming into that game off the back of Chelsea. Milan 3, Dinamo Zagreb 1. The Croatians are going into that off the back of their win against Chelsea. They fell behind just before halftime through another penalty. Olivier Giroud, 45 minutes. Salamaca headed in a second to make it 2-0 just after halftime. But Orsic scored, as he did against Chelsea, to make it 2-1 before Tommaso Pobega scored his first team goal for Milan. And they're up and running with a victory, Alvaro.
Yeah, definitely. Very important for AC Milan. And they've got 4 points right now. As many as they collected in the previous Champions League group stage, which is a very good omen, of course. They are looking good, and I would like to single out Orsic for a second, a player who had such a career development, going to Japan first, coming back to Croatia, scoring 3 goals against the Spurs a couple of years ago, and then doing it very well in the Champions League. He has scored 2 goals as well, and he's been sensational so far, because he can produce things on his own, and for a team like Dinamo Zagreb, this is gold.
Yeah, you need that guy who's going to get you those goals. Yeah. And it was a lovely finish as well. But Dinamo Zagreb beaten on match day 2 in the UEFA Champions League. In the same group, in a late kickoff, Chelsea took on Salzburg. It was Graham Potter's first game in charge since replacing Thomas Tuchel. They took the lead through Raheem Sterling. But Noah Okafor scored again in the competition to get the Austrian Bundesliga champions a point. Let's hear from the UEFA player of the match, which was Raheem Sterling. He says his side will get better as time goes on.
I think it's a game that we should have won, dominate the game and then give away a goal at the end, but there were some good moments there to look back at, but it's a game that we've got to finish off. I said it's still early days with him, and he's getting his message across, and I think the boys are receiving it well, but it's just time and more gelling time, and I think we'll get better.
Raheem Sterling there, lovely goal from him, by the way, from the edge of the area. But the reality is Chelsea are on 1 point from 2 games, and they now have a doubleheader coming up against Milan. Let's hear from Graham Potter. He admits it wasn't his side's day, but he was impressed with his new squad.
Well, we're disappointed with the result in the end. So I thought the boys gave everything, really did. Attacked quite well. Missed a little bit of final bit in the first half, but they defended well, got some good blocks in. Scored a good goal probably lost a little bit in the second period of the second half, but responded well again. Their keepers made some good saves. So overall, disappointed with the result, but boys gave everything, just not wasn't quite to be today.
For Salzburg, they're on 2 points after their draw against Milan and the draw at Stamford Bridge. And Noah Okafor, Chris, I mean, he was sort of the secondary striker, really, with Karim Adeyemi at the club, now at Dortmund. But he is the leading man now for them.
Yeah, and he'll probably be the next Salzburg striker to leave at some stage. We saw one in Erling Haaland do something pretty special this evening. Slightly different story, right? He's not one of these youngsters who comes through the system and then moves on, which is the model of the club. He was signed from Basel, but as you mentioned, he was brilliant alongside Adeyemi last season. And since he's left, it's kind of like, well, okay, this is my club now. I need to be the person to score the goals. And as you mentioned, I mean, that is some start to have faced Milan and Chelsea and be unbeaten.
It's put themselves in a good position because now they have the doubleheader against Dinamo Zagreb to come in Group E. One more group to touch upon, and that's Group H. Two are the big names in European football, Paris Saint-Germain and Juve in this section, and another two-time European champions, Benfica. But what a victory for them, Alvaro. The story of the night for you, winning at Juventus by 2-1 and coming from behind to do it.
Yes, I think that this is not easy, even though we know that Juventus are having a bad time in Italy right now. But still, going to that ground and beating them, coming from behind, it's quite an achievement. And, you know, João Mario, David Neres, those are players who have the quality to score goals, and they did score goals. Benfica has gotten 12 straight wins. I mean, this is not their best ever start, because they did one with Sven-Goran Eriksson in the 80s. 15 straight wins. Okay. So they are only 4 away from surpassing that milestone. But anyway, it's been incredible.
And they are top of the Portuguese league. They fell behind to an early header from Arkadiusz Milik. But João Mário's thump penalty before half-time and the David Neres rebound from a shot from Rafa Silva 10 minutes after half-time means that they have 2 wins from 2 and Juve have 2 defeats from 2. The other game in the group, Maccabi Haifa 1, Paris Saint-Germain 3. Maccabi Haifa with their first group stage goal in nearly 20 years when there was a wonderful finish from Cherry on the volley. But all of Messi, Mbappe and Neymar managed to seal it for Paris Saint-Germain. Quick one on that, Alvaro.
Yeah, I mean, Messi needed to score after giving so many assists. It was a while that he hadn't scored a goal in football, or at least this season, sorry. And I think that this is going to be down to Paris and Benfica. I think that these sides are going to fight for the first spot in Group H.
Alvaro, thank you very much for your company this evening. It's been a great debut on the show. Rich, let's get your final assessment of City Dortmund tonight.
Yeah, it was absolutely astounding finishing that made the difference, with John Stones channeling Vincent Kompany and Erling Haaland channeling Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I mean, it really was something. But encouragement for Dortmund in the end, once they've got over the shock of that defeat.
Just before we finish, we can hear from the match winner, Erling Haaland.
It was a special match for me, emotional, a lot of good friends and, you know, coaches and staff and everyone I know. So it was a special game. But for me, I had to focus, I had to be ready on the things that I have to do, you know, against my former team. In the end, it's a football game, but of course, for me, a bit more special. But yeah, of course, it was emotional, but it was a nice game.
It certainly was. Understated as ever, Erling Haaland. Chris, your final thoughts on Real Madrid? Given the Constantina group stage, great for them to start with 2 wins. They're not far off qualifying, in a sense.
No, they're not. And a nod to the future, I think. Benzema was injured. You think of some of the great players they've had who didn't play, but the young guns came good. And Fede Valverde, well, he is some footballer.
He certainly is. OK, gents, that is all we have time for. Of course, remember to join us from 6 p.m. CEST, every Champions League match night, for live commentary, interviews and analysis. We will be back for the third round of matches in this year's group stages on Tuesday, the 4th of October. Erling Haaland writing new headlines for Manchester City. Graham Potter's Chelsea held. Real Madrid winning. Benfica getting a victory at Juventus. Don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, Chris Parrott, Rich Connolly and Alvaro Moreira and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.